Welcome everyone to the Macro Hive week ahead. I'm sitting in for Andrew once again. He's enjoying a well-deserved holiday break. And as per usual, we have Dominique. Dominique has been a crazy week really for data. We've had some really quite hawkish data and then some dovish data. We should probably start off with CPI and PPI this week were a lot hotter than most people expected. Let's concentrate on CPI to start with. What was your take?
So, I mean, let's be reasonable. A lot hotter. It's 10 basis points higher. You know, the first law of economics: what goes up must come down. No, seriously. I think what's going on is that the disinflation process is kind of consolidating. There is a pause there, which is consistent with the Fed. Expectation of much slower disinflation this year than last year, which is what I call the slower last mile of disinflation. So yeah, I mean, we got a bit of a bump in the CPI, and then we got positive surprises in PPI and import prices. But the bottom line is that, you know, we had a bump in housing costs, this thing called owner equivalent rent that went up quite a bit when the Fed would like it to go down. I think we are actually quite close to the peak because there is an index of rents published by the BLS, which shows rents that you would face if you changed home every month. And that's unambiguously trending down. And since that rent is computed from a subset of the CPI data, at some point the CPI will follow. And then I have a sort of more fundamental reason to expect a peak in OER to be close, which is that, you know, if you read the newspaper or if you look around you, you can see that rents, especially at the top end of the market, are starting to come off. And so, interestingly enough, in the CPI data, the rent index slowed, rent inflation slowed. So there was a very unusually large gap between OER and rent. So I think it's a little bit of a noise here. I'm quite optimistic on this one. And then the other issue with the CPI was a jump in core services, excluding housing, which, based on the PPI, is likely to be replicated with the PCE. So we're also going to get a bad PCE print this month. I don't think this is a sign of a new trend up to me. It's more about this transition to a regime where disinflation is slower, services disinflation is always slower. So, not changing my view. I don't see the Fed, you know, changing their bias from an easing bias. They don't like to be proven wrong. And fundamentally, you would need a lot more data and a lot more evidence than what we got this month. So I see this more as a bump in the roads and a fundamental change of direction.
So, I mean, let's get it straight. Does that mean you're more in line with, say, Goolsbee's comments more than, say, Bostick's comments over the past week? What did you make of their comments?
So Goolsbee, he said we can have a few months of higher inflation print and still be on a path to 2%, which is, you know, my view, and also what the evidence of the post oil shock disinflation of the 80s shows. Bostick, I think people read a little, in my view, read too much in what he said. He thinks, you know, the Fed is in no rush to cut. Yeah, but we kind of knew that before the speech. His view on a future cut was very much driven by unemployment and growth. So, you know, if there is strong growth, low unemployment, no need to cut. Yeah, but I think the Fed is also paying attention to inflation itself. There was a very interesting speech this week by Kugler. She's a recently appointed board member, a labor economist, and she conceded in the Q&A that the Fed is looking at the risk of undershooting the target. So when the Fed will decide to cut, it will look not just at whether the economy is about to slow, but also at the risk of inflation undershooting. And just to give you a sense that the risks are real, during at the end of the big disinflation of the 80s and 90s, core PCE actually fell to 1% year on year. So the Fed doesn't want a repeat of that. And of course, right now the market is all focused on upside risk to inflation because we've had a couple of strong prints. But the Fed is going to take a more holistic approach in its decision on when to start cutting.
So, all clients now, obviously, and investors are now gonna turn their attention to PCE. We had a lot of forecasts out pre-CPI on what potentially PCE could be. Is your expectation now that forecast for PCE in a couple of weeks' time will be revised higher?
Yeah, I think PCE around 30, 35 basis points is very plausible at this stage. So I will see. But yeah, I mean, this is not going to be a good print. We
No,
already know
no.
that.
And so perhaps should we go on to some of the other data from the past week? We had a lot come out yesterday, Thursday. Read the, I'd say, rather weak retail sales, but then we had some positive notes from some of the secondary data, if you want to call it that. Should we start on retail sales? What did you make of those?
It's one print. It's noisy. You always have the January, February seasonality. It doesn't change my view that the US consumer is in great shape, except for a consumer at the lower end of the income distribution. You are starting to see things like delinquency rates on credit card, on car loans perk up, still below pre-pandemic levels. But this is the sort of things that the Fed is watching. But in general, I think they agree with me. US consumer, is like the Energizer bunny. It never stops consuming and, still going strong.
So really, we should think of retail sales, the poor outturn, as more of a one-off, and some of the more positive signs from the other data prints we saw yesterday on Thursday as more of an indication of where the US consumer as a whole is.
Yeah, basically. I mean, the risk with those prints is to be very focused on the details of the print and not looking at the longer term big picture. And to me, it's still very positive.
And one of the big things that came out of yesterday is the impact retail sales had to the nowcast. What did you make of those?
It's good news because the most widely watched GDP nowcast and even within the Fed is the Atlanta Fed. And after the retail sales, it slowed to 2.9% from 3.4%. This is a Q1 nowcast. And since the Fed sees a long-term trend of growth around 1.8%, a slowdown is exactly what they are looking for.
And I mean, was it a huge revision in the nowcast, or was it just a continuing of the trend of we're coming from a really hot nowcast, and we're coming back to something more realistic?
Exactly. At least closer to what the Fed would like to see.
Perfect. And maybe if we flip to next week, there's obviously not a lot of data of the same stature as we've had this week. Will Fed speakers be in focus a bit more? Will we have to watch for the change of language now that we've had these big prints, will we have to watch their takes? And if so, what are you looking for?
So I don't think they will change language because from the get-go, since January FOMC meeting, they've been saying, you know, that the Fed would take its time cutting. I actually see the data as supporting Powell's decision, or it's not yet a decision, but statement that a March cut was unlikely. So the data has moved closer to the Fed talk. So I don't expect a change in tone. Next week we will have a speech by Jefferson. He's a vice chair. He doesn't speak often. His last speech on the economy was in November. And it was a fairly academic, super interesting speech, but still very academic about speech about uncertainty. So hopefully, next week we will have something a bit more concrete tied to the economy. We'll also get the minutes, and there I think we are going to get probably a list of the risk the Fed is looking at, the things I want to see change before they feel comfortable cutting. And I would expect they will include, you know, broadening of disinflation to services from currently just goods, housing inflation that they would like to come down, you know, growth, the labor market. No surprise there. I actually think the messaging of the Fed has been fairly consistent since the FOMC.
And just to get it clear for everyone listening or watching to this, what are your expectations for a first cut from the Fed? Is it June now?
Probably June, yeah, because the Fed wants to see a continued sequential core PCE slowdown, as well as growth closer to trend. So 2.9 is still too hot for them, I'm afraid, 2.9%. They want to be sure that we are not about to start a wage price spiral. So the 60 basis point month-on-month increase in wages we saw in the last NFP, that's also too hot. So they want to see that come down. As well as a broadening of the disinflation trend to from goods to services. And, you know, economic data doesn't turn around on a dime, so we probably need until June to see those trends happen.
Awesome. And really to finish off the data side for next week, I see PMIs are in the calendar. Are there any expectations there, or do you prefer other measures when it comes to that sort of data?
So I tend to be more focused on the ISM, but the S&P PMIs, also the PMIs since the pandemic have tended to decouple from GDP. So I have no issue with the consensus on the S&P PMIs for next week. Otherwise, we also have existing home sales. Recovery, the consensus expects some recovery, which would make sense with the recent decline in mortgage rates because it means there is less of a lock in people's current homes. So we probably are troughing in terms of existing sales. And then, you know, we have the leading indicators, but again, that's decoupled from the GDP and the Chicago Fed National Activity Indicator, which, you know, has never been much of a market moving data point. So we have a week to digest what happened last week. As you said, you know, check if FOMC speakers are changing their tone, and I don't think so because in a way they were hedged for a bump up in the inflation data for that bump we saw this week.
So really, everyone should have taken their half-term holiday next week, not this week.
Definitely. I think people should write to their kids' school and ask them to stay more in sync with the market. In terms of politics, not much going on. You know, I have this election monitor. I mean, the big date in the US is going to be something called Super Tuesday, which is on March 5, and about 30% of delegates will be picked. But to be honest, there isn't much of an uncertainty on the results of that. So all we have next week is a South Carolina Republican primary where former President Trump is likely to win. This is a state, the home state of Ambassador Haley. She's likely to lose. So I think this is basically a week where we can, you know, take time to reflect about the big changes we've seen and refine our views. Not much. I mean, I stand to be proven wrong, but I don't see a lot of market moving news ahead of us.
Perfect. I look forward to your election monitor. Other than that, thanks for speaking, Dominique.
My
Everyone's
pleasure.
enjoyed our week ahead. We look forward to talking to you soon. See ya.
Thanks, Ben.